The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, this week starts the Olympics. Anybody like me, you're looking forward to the Olympics, especially for me. I love the Winter Olympics because of the extreme sports that they play, that all the best people in the world come together doing these extreme sporting events where we know while we're watching them, if something goes wrong, someone might die. And it makes me kind of glued to the TV to think, wow, look how incredible this is and how great the athletes are. And during the Olympics, at the very end, they always find the three best. And the three best at the very end will step on the podium and will look out. And they will know that they are the greatest. They are the best at this event. That no one can be better than them at this part. And they play their national anthem. And they stand there kind of with this pride about them. There are times in our life that we too stand up on our pedestal, that we too stand on this podium, and maybe we have the same type of attitude as we look out and say, hey, look at me, I'm the greatest. Look at me, look at the things that I've accomplished. And as we stand on this podium, we kind of like the spotlight at times. There are some more than others. But we stand on this podium thinking, yeah, it's kind of all about me and it's kind of nice right now. There are times in my life where I stood on this podium, where I stood on this platform wanting the attention, if you will. There are times in my life where I look back and think, I think it was all about me. When I was younger, playing some games, even if there was board games at home, I remember there were times when I cheated to win the game. Why? Because I wanted to win. Because it was all about me. There's times in my life, even now, where when we're driving somewhere, guess who likes to be behind the wheel? Me. Why? Because I kind of like the control. And I like to know where we're going. When we're at home, when the TV is on, guess who likes to have the remote control? Me. Now I'm kind of fighting with Peyton because he always likes it as well. But luckily I'm still bigger than he is. But I have this remote because I like to be in control and I like to kind of watch what I want to watch. There was even a time when I was growing up, I was a counselor at this young teen camp, the teen for junior hires. And at this camp, they would go around every day taking pictures of people. And then every day they would have this great slideshow. And at the end of the camp, they put it all together as one big video. And I watched this video. And guess who I saw the most? Me. Because the truth is, I wanted the attention. And so for so long in my life, I was on this pedestal. And then God humbled me. And God showed me, it's not about you, Paul. It's about me. It's not about you being glorified. It's not about the spotlight being on you. It's about the spotlight being on me. And I was convicted early in my life where God said, get off the pedestal. Step down. Because this is where God needs to be. Amen. Not me. Amen. Do you have parts in your life where you're like that? Standing up on the pedestal. Parts in your life where, when you really dig down to it, it's kind of all about you. And let's face it, sometimes being on the pedestal, for some, it's great. Let's face it, this world actually tells us, guess what? Get on the pedestal. Make the pedestal bigger. Even if you need to fight anybody off the pedestal so you can get on it. So the question is this morning, how can we humble ourselves in a selfish world? We've been looking at Colossians chapter 3. We've been going through the sermon series. It's a new year. Is it a new you? And in Colossians chapter 3, we looked at the first beginning parts of Colossians chapter 3, where it talks about these things we need to get rid of. We need to put to death these type of things like anger, malice, greed, filthy language. And then in verse 12, it tells us things that we need to put on. These are characteristics that are like Christ, that we need to be more of. Last week, we talked about the first couple. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness. We talked about that last week. The next one, it says, also with humility, gentleness, and patience. This morning, we're talking about humility. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ezekiel 28. We're just going to look at a couple of verses here. Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 1, this talks about a king who thought that he was a god, who was on his pedestal, who wanted all the spotlight on him. This is what the word says about this guy. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, say to the ruler of Tyre, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god. In the heart of the seas, but you are a mere mortal and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god. Basically, what this is saying is there are times where this person wanted to stand on his pedestal. This person was the king of his throne. Everything was about him. He wanted people to even bow down to him. And God said, but the truth is, you are not a god. There's only one God. There's only one God that has the authority. There's only one God that has the sovereignty to be able for people to bow down. And that God is me, not you. We even see it in Genesis with Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve, hey, here's your whole land. Look at this world I've given you. I have one rule for you. Do not pick the apple from this tree. Now Satan came in form of a serpent. And this is what Satan said in Genesis 3:5. Says, when you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, when they chose this fruit, guess what they wanted? They wanted to have the power of God. They wanted the power. Because maybe they were struggling with, it's all about me. You know, every time we sin, we are choosing the God of me over the God of the world. Every time we sin, we are choosing self over God. Every time we sin, we're saying, guess what? I should sit on this throne, not you, because it's about me. So how do we have a life of humility in a very selfish world? Well, the Bible tells us how we do it is by being just like Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to see kind of a characteristic of Jesus, what Jesus did when the spotlight maybe was either on him. This is what Jesus did. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So here Jesus is saying, guess what? I can do nothing apart from my Father. That without him, I am nothing. And so even Jesus, the one I think that we can all say, if anyone deserves to stand up on the podium, it's the Son of God. It's Jesus. But even him says, I can do nothing without my Father. And anything he tells me, I do. Everything that Jesus did, he wanted to make sure that the spotlight is on his Father, not on him. Even every time he went and healed someone, he said, now you will be healed because so my Father can have the glory, that he could be glorified. It was all about his Father. It was all about God. It was not about him. Jesus knew how to humble himself. Guess what? Didn't he even come into this world as a humble servant? He didn't come as holier than thou. He came in the midst of animals and manure. He humbled himself. A couple of chapters over, John chapter 8, verse 54. This is what it says. Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Here, Jesus is saying, it means nothing if I glorify myself. But it's my Father who's going to lift me up. It's my Father who's going to give me that name. But so many of us do whatever we can to try to glorify ourselves. The scripture that we're going to focus on the most today is in Philippians chapter 2, as it talks truly about Jesus being the humble servant. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. The humble servant of Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Jesus humbling himself, and how we too need to be like that. So Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Basically, Jesus is starting here of saying, you need to be like me. You need to be like-minded, come together. And then here are some two very, very powerful verses. Verse 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So here we see that we are to look at somebody else's interest before ourselves. We are to look at other people's needs before our own needs. How different would this world be if we would just follow this simple command? Think about others before ourselves. How different would Decatur be if we just followed this simple command? How different would this church be if we just followed this different command? How different would your home be, or would your marriage be, if you just followed this simple command? To always look at the interests of others before yourself. And then it goes on. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Now we see this mindset, and we're going to go into these next six verses. And some people would call these next six verses a glorious parabola. We have it, you'll see on your screen, that basically what it is on the top of this screen would kind of be glorification. On the bottom of the screen will be humility. And what you will see in the midst of this reading is you see that Jesus starts up here, and then he humbles himself to down here, but then he comes back up again. Let me read it to you, and you can understand what we're talking about. Jesus, who, being in very nature God, you can't get any higher than that, can you? Very nature God. Now let's go a step lower. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So he was God, but he did not consider himself equal with God. So we go a little bit down on the scale there. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Oh, we're going down that scale pretty low now, aren't we? Now he became nothing. He became like human. He became like a servant. He's going down that scale. Being made in human likeness, and then in verse 8, kind of tells us the bottom. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. There's nothing much lower than death. He humbled himself to death. It doesn't stop there, though. The next word in verse 9 is the word therefore. when we see that word, we're going to see what it's there for. We're going to see how everything changes after this. And now we're going to start climbing that ladder back up again. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Let me ask you the question. Who exalted Jesus? Were you confident in that answer? Let me ask you again. Who exalted Jesus? Who exalted Jesus? God. God exalted him. Did Jesus exalt himself? No. God was the one who exalted him, which tells us, people, when we humble ourselves, when we become a servant, guess what happens? The Almighty God, who is the only one who has the ability to exalt us, or should exalt us, exalts us. And so he exalts Jesus. And let's go even a step higher. And gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, after death, God exalts Jesus, giving him the name of Jesus. We're at his name. People, do you believe that in the name of Jesus there is power in his name? Do you believe that? There's power in the name of Jesus, that God exalted him and gave him a powerful name, that at his name every knee will bow before the Almighty God. At his name, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is just a normal human being. No, that he is Lord. So you see this, of how he starts up here, and in this, he humbles himself in this passage, but then it's God who lifts him up. It tells us today, do you feel low? Guess what? You came to the right place because it's God who can lift you up. It's God who can exalt you. But first, it might start with us taking a step off the podium. And to know in our life that it's all about looking at other people and thinking about others before we think about ourselves. It's not about self. You see, when I want people to look at me, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see Christ in me. When people look at this church, I don't want them to think of a face. I want them to think of Jesus. Because we're not the one who's standing on this podium. He is. Are there things in your life that you need to humble yourself? That you need to take the step off the podium? It even goes a little bit further than this. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, let those who boast, boast in the Lord. You see, there's only one thing that we should boast about. It's not yourself. Boast in the Lord. For everything is about him. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Says, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. You see, what Jesus came into this world of saying, we need to live as a humble servant. We need to step off of our podium. We need to get off of the throne of our lives, because that throne is only for God. But it was Jesus who himself, who even humbled himself as a servant to even death on the cross. And then God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And God brought him back to heaven. And guess what? Is now seated at the right hand of God. Selfishness is a huge thing in our society today. Even kids learn it at such an early age, where they want theirs. This is mine, right? Do you ever wonder maybe where the kids learned it from? Is there a part in your life that you need to humble? Is there a time in your life or a part of your life that you need to step off the podium and know that it's all about him? Is there something in your life where you need to get off the throne and allow God to get back on? Deny self. Humble yourself. Be a servant. And then let's see how God will exalt you. Today we're going to come to the table as we take communion together. And as we take communion, we remember the humility and the servanthood of Christ as he came to earth, even to death on the cross. And as we take some of the bread, and as we dip it into the juice, we remember that Jesus also was a humble king. Let's pray. Jesus, forgive us. We love you. Forgive us today for times in our life where it's about me and not about you. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to be a servant. Help us to always look at other people before ourselves. And God, as we come forward, as we take these elements together, I pray, O God, that you will be glorified. And truly, God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.